The epistle to be read today for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Brethren, I give thanks to my God always for you, for the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus, that in all things you are made rich in him, and in all utterance and in all knowledge, as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that nothing is wanting in you in any grace, waiting for the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you unto the end without crime, in the day of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 9. At that time, Jesus, entering into a boat, passed over the water and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him one sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And behold, some of the scribes said within themselves, "He blasphemeth." And Jesus, seeing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? Which then is easier, to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the man sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose and went into his house. And the multitude, seeing it, feared, and they glorified God who had given such power to men. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. There is a certain holy bishop who had the good practice of going to confession every week. And he told a certain priest friend of his that he always brought three pictures to mind when he prepared for confession. He told him he would first think about hell. Then secondly, he would think about heaven. And the third was that he would imagine Christ on the cross. First then, he let his imagination take him to the place of torments, where he honestly believed he deserved to be. That is, he would imagine hell and all the torments, and he would imagine himself there, suffering the punishment that awaited him. Then he would thank God that he was not actually there, and begged our Lord to give him the grace needed to keep him from going there. Secondly, he would let his mind fly to the halls of heaven, and then he would think about its happiness and the glory he would enjoy in that blessed abode, that joyful place where lived our Blessed Lady with all the saints. He would imagine himself there, enjoying himself among all the angels and saints. He would then think that he would never get to heaven if he did not repent of his sins. And lastly, he recalled to mind the scene of Calvary. He pictured Christ on the cross, suffering for our sins. The holy bishop would tell himself, "That is my work. I am the cause of the torture Jesus must undergo. By my sins, I have helped mangle and wound Christ's body. I have crucified him. I have put him there on the cross by my sins. I have never been mistreated by Jesus, but I have mistreated him. He has given me so many blessings. Instead, I should love him now with all my heart and do all I can for him." Now, in today's gospel, we see our Lord healing a paralytic, a man sick of palsy. Palsy, or what we commonly call paralysis, is the complete or partial loss of the ability to move. The man in the gospel was thus being carried to our Lord on a stretcher by his friends. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the man sick of the palsy, "Be of good heart, son, thy sins are forgiven thee." Now at this declaration, some of the Pharisees and scribes who were following our Lord to heckle him said to themselves, "He blasphemeth." But our Lord read their thoughts, and he asked them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" And then he went on to prove to those who doubted and questioned him that he did have power to forgive sins, and he did this by healing the man of his sickness. Our Lord said to the man sick with the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And so the sick man rose from the stretcher and went into his house. Seeing this great miracle, the people were astonished and astounded at our Lord's power, and thus they gave glory to God. Now, my dear faithful, we are like the sick man in today's gospel when we sin. For by sin, our hearts become weak and suffer a partial paralysis. That is, our hearts lose the ability to move, so to speak. And so it is difficult for sinners to turn to God with the ease of the soul that is in the state of sanctifying grace. And this weakening greatly affects their heart and soul, and eventually we may even lose the ability to have true contrition for sin. And this condition becomes worse and worse the more one falls into sin. And therefore we need help. We need a cure for the disease of sin. And so our Lord has given us and left us the sacraments, and especially the sacrament of penance. He gave us these sacraments to cure us of the disease of sin. And it is in the sacrament of penance that our Lord heals our heart of its palsy. But in order for the priest's absolution to be effective, we must have true contrition. We must be truly sorry from our heart. Natural sorrow alone is not sufficient for the sins to be forgiven in the sacrament of penance. We must have a supernatural sorrow, which is a grief of soul and a detestation of the sins committed. And this must be accompanied with the intention not to sin in the future. In other words, we must not only have sorrow for our sins, but we must also have a firm purpose of amendment. We must make up our mind not to do the evil again. And this firm purpose of amendment is a resolution to avoid sin and its near occasions. That is, we must avoid the people and things that lead us into sin. We must stay away from them. And we must make up our minds not to go back to the places where we may be tempted to sin. For you see, due to original sin, we are prone to fall into sin. And so, if we resolve only to avoid sin, we will fall again and again and again. We must also resolve to avoid the near occasions of sin. For if we do not avoid the persons or the things and the places which lead us into sin, then we do not have true contrition. Because we are not taking the necessary steps to show that we are truly sorry. And without true contrition, our sins cannot be forgiven. For true contrition is found in the love of God, as St. Francis de Sales explains when he says, "And so we may truly say that though our penitence were so great that it should cause our eyes to dissolve in tears and our hearts to break with sorrow. Yet if we do not have holy love of God, all of this will profit nothing. Let us then resolve to go to confession frequently, that is, at least every few weeks, and resolve to make them good and devout confessions. Saint Benedict Joseph Labre recommended the practice of frequent confession as the surest means of living in the friendship of God. But he added, "Be sure that you make them good confessions, for numerous souls are lost because of bad confessions." Remember, then, that our sorrow for sin must be interior and genuine. And so in order to help us have this true contrition, let us follow the example of the holy bishop in the story. And strive then, my dear faithful, to think about those three scenes that he always used when he was preparing for confession. And so first think about hell and all the pains there. Think about the fact that you will end up there if you die in the state of mortal sin. Think about heaven and the happiness you will enjoy there with all the saints. But you must do your part and stop sinning in order to make it to heaven. And lastly, imagine the scene of Calvary. Picture our Lord there hanging upon the cross, suffering and dying for you, and that it is due to your sins that he hangs there and suffers so much. And so recall all these pictures, or even just one of them, the next time you are preparing for confession, and your act of contrition will be much more sincere. And always remember that it is our Lord who is the one sitting in the confessional, waiting for you to come to him and confess your sins. As our Lord promised St. Mark and Mary, in the sacrament of penance he said, "All I ask for is for a contrite and humble heart, with a sincere will never to offend me again." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.